Today's Big Brother exit interview is sponsored by Mazda. Does driving matter to you? Driving with the windows down, the wind blowing through your hair, with the smell of fresh pine trees and asphalt? You look forward to these moments when it's just you and the road, no distractions. Maybe a podcast. Handling every curve and feeling every nuance in the road. So ask yourself, does driving matter to you? Because if it does, we build cars just for you. Because to us and to me, driving matters. Mazda. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our Big Brother exit interview. We got a good one today. Audrey Middleton is going to be joining us to talk about her time in the Big Brother house and an eventful week, which was drama-filled, of course, since we're talking about Audrey. So excited that she is going to be joining us. There was a little bit of doubt during the week. I think she said on the live feeds that she wasn't going to do any exit press, but here she is because it's Audrey. She was lying to the people in the house. So anyway, very excited to talk with Audrey here on the podcast. Last night, we did our episode recap of the eviction show. I was on the road. I had to go down to Anaheim to attend a function for Patreon that they have a mobile app launching, and they were doing a thing as part of VidCon down in Anaheim. So I was down in Anaheim for the night, but I drove back early this morning for this. And so if you want to catch that video, that's up at robhasawebsite.com. After we catch up with Audrey, I'm going to bring in Alex Kidwell, one of our live feed correspondents, to talk about what went on overnight in the house, as we have a very interesting pair of HOHs, and we're going to talk about who is going to be nominated and ultimately the target. But that's going to be after Audrey, so that's where all the live feed spoilers will be. So let's get into it. I see that we have Audrey on the line. Audrey, are you there?
Good morning, Rob. I'm a big fan.
Audrey, well, I was a big fan of all of the drama that you brought to Big Brother 17. So thank you very much for that. There were a lot of us that really didn't get any work done for the first week of the live feed. So greatly appreciated everything you did there. And also, thank you very much for being brave enough to go into the Big Brother house. I wish there was some way for you to know all of the goodwill out there towards you when it was first announced that you were going to be a part of Big Brother 17.
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah. So
I hope I didn't ruin everything that happened.
Well, that's what I really want to know, because I felt like there was so much goodwill for you outside the house, and I really felt, as an outsider watching everything that was happening, that there was so much goodwill towards you in the house. And I almost felt like, kind of like the coaches season, or the season where they brought back the pairs like Dick and Danielle and Brendan and Rachel, where people were safe for the first 4 weeks. I almost felt like that's how it would have been for you if you just would have gone into the have-not room, put a blanket over your head and sunglasses right on, and stayed in there for the first 4 weeks. I felt like nobody would have come after you. Why did you come out so aggressively into the game?
You know what? I wish I had a good answer. It's so different when you're finally in there. It's like the first 24 hours, you talk about everything you have to say, and then you're like, well, should I start playing the game now, I guess? But and like, I'm such a big fan of Survivor and Big Brother, and I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it anyways, and you know what? I can't take it back.
Well, I do think there is something there to the people that are the biggest fans of these shows. And I know we certainly saw that this past season with Survivor, right, where the super fans are the ones that have the most difficulty not talking about the game. Do you think is that something that is real, that people struggle with?
Oh, for sure. I swear the first 2 weeks, Steve and Jason still talks about the game.
Yeah.
Nonstop. I try to refrain from talking about Big Brother, the show, but talking game, I couldn't do very well. So I wish I could have shoved a blanket down my throat.
Audrey, this week, it was confusing but interesting to watch exactly what was going to go on. On Monday, we were all sort of glued to our live feeds of what's going on. Did Audrey leave the game? The hashtag was people. When Audrey went into the diary room, this was still going on. This was going on. So what I was frustrated last night on the show, we never got to hear from you about what you were thinking during all that. We only heard what the other people were saying about you. What was going through your mind during that time, and what were the kinds of things that you were saying during that time?
Well, honestly, the DR is the one safe haven in the whole house.
Okay, then tell us, what were you thinking instead of what were you saying?
I was mourning over my own death.
Yeah.
I was mentally preparing myself that this is the end, there's nothing I can do, and just mourning and getting it all out.
Your decision to not go to the veto ceremony, was that just you were so distraught, or was that a conscious decision, or was there some strategy involved with that?
I was so overwhelmed that I wish I could take credit and be like, oh, it's strategic. But no, I was just literally so overwhelmed, so in my own head. People deal with stress differently, and that's how I dealt with it, and it looks bad, and people can criticize me all they want. I set myself up for it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You brought a lot of drama to the table, and we definitely appreciate that. You talked about in the preseason before you went into the house that you were going to play like the Dexter Morgan. I thought you had a funny moment last night talking about how...
I know, and then I actually kind of played like an acne amble instead. Yeah, that was my plan. I walked in there with, oh, I'm going to be so swift and so clever, and I'm going to have all these blood slides, and I'm still going to play with integrity. And then as soon as I made that first, I opened my mouth, that just left. I don't know where it went. I looked for it around the house, and I just lost it. I literally lost it.
Yeah. Well,
I went mad.
Audrey, what I'm interested to know is, because of paranoia, did you feel threatened, or was it all just part of a plan that you were starting from the get-go?
Well, this is the thing with me and the paranoia. So in my personal life, I've always been a radical. I've always had to fight for my own independence because outside circumstances had always pushed a standard and conformity onto me. So for 25 years, I've been fighting to become this person that I've always believed that I am, right?
Yeah.
So when you're in that house and that comes into it, for me, it was like, I struggle, and I really learned this through this experience. I really struggle allowing my fate to just go into the hands of other people. So when people tell me to sit back, or they exclude me from something, or no one's talking to me, I feel like I have to be super proactive, and I have to do all these things because I have to do it myself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I totally understand that's how you would feel about this, and I think it's totally understandable. Talk to me about where it was Shelly, who was the HOH, who ultimately put you up on the block. Are you upset with her, or do you feel like you could see the reasons why she ultimately did what she did?
I am not now upset with her, but I was very upset with her at the time because I actually did come to her in good faith. She did feel that I was trying to put seeds of doubt in her and Clay's mind about Vanessa, which I was, but those seeds were genuine. I actually had a conversation with Vanessa, and the conversation that I did have, everything I said happened. And so I was just letting her know because they gave me a hard time when they heard a day late some seed that James dropped about how we need to split up a power couple. And
I didn't know you did impressions.
I know, right? I felt like I was damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't with them. And I thought, I'm going to bring this to them so that they know they can trust me. And they didn't. They brought it to Vanessa, and I pissed off the two people in power, which is awful and what you don't want to do in Big Brother. And ultimately, I was my own demise.
Now, a couple times this season, we saw you cast a vote the opposite direction of the house. Could you just talk to us about, were you just throwing those votes out as hinky votes to cause drama, or was there some other reason?
Yes, it was totally to throw a wrench in everybody's head, to throw a wrench directly at their forehead. So they'd have those little spinny birdies around their forehead and thinking, what's going on here? That's weird. And there was a lot of paranoia about America's Player.
Yes.
And I was also trying to really convince people that some of my lies that I told were consistent. And, you know, with James coming clean about the thing he made up last minute regarding me getting in his head about Jace, and then things coming out about Jeff, stuff started to check out with me. So I'm glad I didn't cave on certain things that I swore on. And I was like, this is perfect because now I can really build this profile against Jason because I did tell him I was a day vote. And he was telling people said I told him I was a day vote. And people won't believe him. And I think people weren't believing him. I could be wrong. But the people that mattered, like Vanessa, who was in power at the time, I believe wasn't believing him. And I had more credibility suddenly.
Yeah. Now, was it a miscalculation, though, to put some of those votes out there? Because you're right, there was a lot of talk about America's Player, but a lot of that talk was centered on the fact that people thought you were America's Player, and that was also one of the reasons why it seemed like the Alliance of Six really wanted to make sure that you, or one of the reasons at least, because you were America's Player and you were going to vote however America wanted to anyway, so you weren't even really a number for them.
I think that, I don't know if it was a miscalculation. I think that the odds were just against me no matter what. I think if they said there was a twist, if there was speculation that there was a woman, there was a horse dressed in a woman suit, it would have been me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that no matter what happened, I just became the ultimate scapegoat. Yes, it probably didn't help my case, but I felt like as a couple weeks went on, my credibility went up with my core allies, and they didn't. So, yeah, okay, maybe it was a miscalculation.
Look, it happens. Okay. It happens to all
Got
of
it
us.
Out of me.
Yeah. So, would you be open to potentially playing in the Big Brother again if there was an All-Star season? Would you be up for something like that?
Yes, although I don't think they would choose me. But I would love to. Shout out.
Why do you feel like they wouldn't choose you?
I don't know, because I got out so early, but you know what? I brought uniqueness to the table. No matter how you look at it, I was one of a kind.
Yeah.
And I was a flavor that the cast needed. And
yeah.
I would love to do it again. I don't think that I'm the best game player ever.
No, yeah. Nobody does, Audrey.
I know.
But it was fun.
That's all that matters.
It was fun while it lasted.
That's all that matters, Rob.
Yes. But Audrey, I'd love to get your take on this because I think it's very interesting where it was such a big story that someone who was transgender was going to be coming into the house, but it was such a non-factor in terms of the overall experience where your game overshadowed that by so much. And it was really something that really wasn't talked about very much after the initial announcement. Is that something that makes you happy, or do you wish that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted an authentic experience. I didn't want people to not come for me because they didn't want to come for the transgender. I wanted there to be no prejudice. I'm so happy that I could introduce myself on day one and then it was forgotten. So the people who genuinely hated me, they genuinely hated me. And I'm okay with that. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah. I think it is a good thing. I really
do. I think it is too.
Who's going to win this game?
Who's going to win this game? You know what? I think Vanessa has a really great shot.
Yeah. Do you think that she's
really
too out in front?
Too out in front? I feel like the first few weeks she was too under the radar and people didn't know where she stood. Now, only now it's coming to the surface. Like, okay, Vanessa can win competitions. And I don't know if she's too out in front. I tried to put her on the radar.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next couple weeks, things will develop a certain way and the people I tried to put her on the radar to will, you know, start to see the light.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She's really good. That was my personal experience anyways.
I know once you started to see the writing on the wall, you really started to expose a lot of the stuff from that Alliance of Six. But because your credibility had been shot at that point, I think a lot of people didn't believe what you were saying, or it was easy for people to say, oh, it's Audrey. She's lying about this stuff. How frustrating was that to tell people like James about this alliance and about what they're up to and not really be believed?
Oh, it was super frustrating. I wanted to shake the stupid out of him. I'm like, James.
Yeah.
James, are you in there?
Yeah.
you know, there's nothing I could do. And, you know, maybe I guess after they'll watch the show and find out later. I tried to get through to him one more time before I got evicted. And I said, look, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you a gem here. I'm just begging you to catch the gem.
Catch it.
Okay, catch the gem and invest in this gem, okay? Because it's going to help you. It's going to help you. I have nothing to gain from this except the pleasure of seeing the people who put me out go down.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you.
All right. Well, Audrey, I am really looking forward to hearing the rest of the summer what you have to say about all of this stuff on Big Brother. So all the best to you. I hope that this was a positive experience for you. And really just, I think everybody is just really happy with how everything ultimately played out for you with this experience.
Absolutely. I had a very fun time.
All right. Take care, Audrey.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Audrey here on Rob Has a Podcast. They said she wouldn't show. They said it would be like the veto meeting, but no, she was here. So appreciate that from Audrey. Hope you guys enjoyed hearing from her as well. All right. So we're going to switch gears. We haven't done this really since the first week, and I don't want to set up that all hell is breaking loose in the house, but honestly, we were a little unsure whether or not Audrey was going to show up for this interview, so I wanted to have a plan B, much like Audrey always had a plan B, C, D, all the letters of the alphabet. So we did have a plan B, just in case, but I figured, why not, since we had him ready to go, let's talk to Alex Kidwell to hear about what went on overnight on the live feeds. Alex, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how's it going? Yeah. Everybody, you know, you came in, you tuned for Audrey, and you get me as a bonus. It's a real Merry Frickin' Christmas here.
Yeah. That you were like the plan if the Audrey podcast got taken off with the veto. And then I'm like, oh, I need a replacement podcast. Oh, what do I do? But instead, this was turned out to be like a double eviction.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's like how Johnny Mac said, you know, if you got time for me, awesome. If not, that's cool too, you know?
That's right. All right. So, Alex, before we get into talking about the live feeds, I'm very excited because this is a bit of a milestone for me personally, because today is the day that Josh Wigler and I have dropped the final piece of the evolution of strategy, our 30-season rewatch of Survivor. This is the final piece of volume 2, which covers Heroes versus Villains, which is now released. And I am this is a big milestone for me because I feel like I've now lapped Survivor, where I started the podcast during Heroes versus Villains. And now we've covered all of the seasons before that. And now I'm right back where I started. Yeah. We did it.
Just take a moment to give you a slow clap and a nice kind of ovation there, Rob, because that's a serious accomplishment. For people who haven't been listening to those audiobooks, they just get increasingly longer, and they started pretty long to begin with. I mean, Rob and Josh really give the detail. You're not missing any of the minutia, and I love it. I mean, you know, as a diehard, you know, it's exactly what you want.
Much appreciated. It's 17 hours, so if you're at any time, you have a shortage of programming in your ear, dial up the Evolution of Strategy. Volume 2 finishes with Heroes vs. Villains. Volume 3 kicks off next week, and you can get the first part. We decided that we didn't do a Survivor off-season podcast this week, so the 3-hour part 1 of the Heroes versus Villains chapter is available for free right now. Go to robisawebsite.com/free20, or if you want the whole thing, the 17-hour chapter, that's $3.99, and it's available at robisawebsite.com/store or at evolutionofstrategy.com. All right, Let's talk about the evolution of the Big Brother strategy here as we kick off week five, where we have Vanessa and Jackie as HOH. And it really looked like it might be the first time where we could see people butting heads up in the HOH joined bedroom, but it didn't exactly become as contentious as we might have thought, correct?
Yeah, contentious. That's a good one. This was kind of a pairing that a lot of people said, hey, look, maybe this is the opportunity we're going to get to see the Battle of the Block play out in a different way. Vanessa and Jackie seem to be kind of on opposite sides. But lo and behold, the Battle of the Block format is not conducive to butting heads because, I mean, one of those two people is coming down and they feel super vulnerable coming right off of an HOH. So if you have that HOH power or in this case, that like shared HOH power, it doesn't really behoove you to not set yourself up to be safe no matter what. So unfortunately, the end result is we get these elaborate deals with, you know, big kind of conglomerates shaped and reshaped and, you know, a few individuals kind of being picked at pretty regularly and repeatedly.
Okay. So Vanessa and Jackie, what is the common ground there?
Well, the common ground that now exists is, I assume we're doing full spoilers at this point. Yes?
Oh, I forgot. Oh, hold on. Thanks for the reminder.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. I did say in the beginning of the podcast that we were going to talk spoilers when you came on, but thank you for the reminder to at least officially sound the alarm.
Hey, if nothing else, I wanted to hear the alarm, so
yes.
It makes me happy.
Yes. So
thanks for that. But okay, so yeah, the thread that now binds is a new Final Eight alliance.
Okay.
And this alliance is basically this original week one group that formed when it included Davon and Audrey. They've kind of reformed themselves, you know, the Shelley Clay along with the Jason James Meg, and then add Jackie, Vanessa, and Becky. And that's your new Final Eight. They call themselves the Dark Moon Alliance.
Dark Moon. I feel like that sounds like a series of books for like middle school girls. Dark Moon.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty apt. And I think the source is probably to blame. Jackie was allowing Creepy James to name the alliance. And this is what you get.
What's the significance of Dark Moon?
To be honest, I'm not entirely sure. I saw Jackie come in and say, our alliance name is, she points to James, and James says, Dark Moon. And everyone just laughs and rolls with it. If there was something before that, I may have missed it, but
okay,
I can't get everywhere at once, unfortunately.
All right, well, luckily, it's an 8-person alliance with only, like, how many people? 11 people in the house, so.
yep. It's everyone but the twins, Austin, Steve, and Johnny Mac. That's really all you need to know.
Okay. So, no way this can work, right?
No, I don't see much sustainability beyond this week. But right, I mean, that's the idea. And that's really the key issue with the Battle of the Block is you need to form something like this to protect yourself in case you lose the power.
Yeah, you want to have as many chips on the roulette table as possible for whoever the two HOHs are going to be.
Yeah. The format is what it is, but I can't say I love it.
Yeah.
This could have been much worse.
Yeah. Maybe not.
It could have been, I guess. Yeah, you know, we still could get some interesting developments here because I still think you've got an interesting case now where, you know, like I said, the twins in Austin find themselves on the outs of this new group along with Steve. These are all people that Vanessa has given her word to. So she's walking a tight rope right now. And that could prove interesting down the line if Austin decides he wants to blow up somebody's game or something.
So
down the stretch.
Is Vanessa totally out on Austin? And if so, who is Vanessa's number one right-hand person?
So it seems that way. I say seems because I haven't seen... The only conversation I saw where it was just Vanessa, Shelley, and Clay, like that seems to be where we're going to get the most truth from Vanessa. Because Vanessa talking to Jackie, you've got to know a lot of that spin. So when she's talking to Shelley and Clay, though, she seems ready to cut bait with Austin. She called Austin up to the HOH to get confirmation on the... thing that Austin had kind of gone over with Jason. Austin tries to hedge his bets with Jason and shared all the twin formation, if you will, with Jason, even giving Jason Julia's name. And that backfired spectacularly when Jason immediately shared that Austin had shared that with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa talked to Austin and basically asked him what he had shared with Jason and got, you know, kind of half-truths and wishy-washy denials and just, I mean, very much high school principal, like, don't lie to me because we're close, but if you lie to me, all bets are off. And really just kind of, you know, talking to him like a student that got caught, you know, like taking something out of someone else's locker. But it was ultimately a situation where she doesn't believe what he has to say. She feels like, you know, an ally lying to her is the ultimate betrayal, and she's ready to cut bait and maybe take what was the Audrey slot with Shelley and Clay as her closest duo, kind of to push them in front of her as a shield.
Is that a good idea, though, to be the third wheel on Shay?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough call. You know, we saw it work for Andy.
Is that the official? What's the official portmanteau word?
Yeah,
of?
Yeah. Well, I like Slay because I feel like they're actually kind of killing in there, but I don't think they like that. I think Shelley thinks that's too vicious. So I'm not sure what they, I think they've gone back and forth. Some people have said Clelly and some people have said Schley, and I don't know what they like. It's all out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That being said, who are the nominees officially going to be?
So after a lot of talk, after, you know, Vanessa kind of, you know, convincing Jackie that they're on the same page. A Team Vegas, by the way, they both live in Vegas. So that was an easy bonding route. And that's smart,
mm-hmm.
you know, to find the common ground and then kind of work from there. And that's exactly what Vanessa did. And Jackie, to her credit, made sure to secure a deal. I mean, played it a little more strategically than I think anyone would have given her credit for, especially after the Brittany Haynes trashing last night, which
the drive by.
Yeah, Brittany Haynes threw the shade. And, you know, I think Jackie, she did a little more than could be expected based on that assessment. But Vanessa, you know, after all the deliberation, you know, it's going to be pawns and pawns with backdoor targets in place, as per usual. Vanessa is going to put up Becky and Clay, who have volunteered to be pawns, two strong competitors who they expect to win the Battle of the Block and dethrone Vanessa. Jackie insists on staying HOH. She's nominating Liz and James because both of them have nommed her previously, and they're going to be pawns as well. The backdoor option is Austin with, like, the emergency backup plan being Steve, and that seems to be unanimous.
Okay. Why does Jackie have an axe to grind with Steve?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just a situation where Jackie doesn't really care about Steve. I don't think Steve's done anything to Jackie specifically. I just think her loyalty is to the Jason, James, Meg, and then Becky as well. And she just feels like, well, I can only protect so many people.
Mm.
And no one's really going to bat for Steve.
It's so odd that the attractive woman in the house doesn't care if the nerdy guy comes or goes.
I know. What's with that?
It's so unlike the rest of society.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of that Saturday Night Live skit where it's like the one guy in the office is doing stuff and it's creepy, and then Tom Brady is doing the exact same thing, and it's just the coolest thing ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting dichotomy with both Steve and Johnny Mac, who find themselves on the outside. Steve is strategically savvy and has had good strategic conversations with people, but has no social bonds that he's built up. Johnny Mac, the exact opposite. He's got these social relationships that he's formed pretty strongly, but no one talks game with him, so no one knows where his head's at.
Josh and I talk about this a lot in Evolution of Strategy when we're trying to rank the Survivor players and who was better. And for me, it's always the social game to me is the tiebreaker, because you could have all the strategic game in the world, but if you don't have the social game to go along with it, it doesn't do you any good. It's very hard to be a player who has great strategy, but almost no social game. It's easier to win the game, I think, if you have a great social game and just a little bit of strategy.
Absolutely. I mean, I think case in point, Clay, you know, self-described super fan, yes, but he hadn't watched Big Brother until 4 or 5 months ago. He's doing very well. And that, you know, a large part of that is just inherent social ability that he had before he ever watched an episode of Big Brother. Audrey is a very, very strategically savvy individual, spends a lot of her time focusing on the nuances of the strategy in games like this. But I mean, when it came to building the personal connections that would keep her safe when push comes to shove, that's where she was lacking.
It's frustrating, but a lot of times you just find these people off the street and they're going to be better at these games than the people who are the real super fans.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why, you know, there's arguments out there that, you know, a lot of people say, I don't understand why they recruit people. And then people say, well, if you really go back and look, a lot of good players and some favorites have been recruits.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something to keep in mind. I still would love to see maybe one season of just all pure fans just to see what that looks like. But I don't think you can complain about recruits in general because of what you're saying there.
Yeah. And one last thing before we jump off today. I forgot to talk about this on the Big Brother recap from last night, but James seemed to be intentionally throwing the HOH competition last night and really doing a very bad job of doing so. Maybe not since Alec in the original Big Brother Canada have we seen somebody so obviously throwing the HOH competition. Was there any fallout from that?
Yeah, you know, people did talk about it. I didn't think it was very strategically sound what he was doing. And a lot of people said, so James was throwing that. I don't guess we have to keep that in mind going forward. You know, so like even his allies are now, this is a piece of information that you don't want people associating with you that everyone's now associating with you, I think. So, yeah, I don't think it's the best move he's made.
Yeah, and especially if he's going to be up in the Battle of the Block and one of these people who is he in on, are Liz and James, are they in on throwing it?
James is. Liz is not.
Okay. I mean, James could very well potentially, that if there's evidence that James is throwing all this stuff, he might be a good person to get out.
Yeah, it could be tough. I think the saving grace is that both people in power seem to really want Austin now. You know, I mean, and Vanessa went so far as to pull Julia aside last night and tell Julia that everything Austin told to Jason. And then Julia told Vanessa that Austin was responsible for the Hinkie vote. And I think that's a real, real kind of painful piece of information to be out there if you're Austin.
Okay, so it's really going to come down to, is Austin going to win the veto right now?
Yeah, I think if Austin doesn't win the veto, I think this week is looking pretty easy for everyone else because of the work he's done.
Not for anything with Mr. Dark Moon himself in James. If you're going to throw that competition, can't you just not buzz in?
Yeah, I mean, really, I just don't I don't get the logic. I didn't get it when Alec did it. And that really, I mean, Alec was a really smart guy. And that ended up, I mean, biting him. Like, Andrew Moynihan took a second and was like, wait a minute, I don't know how I feel about this. And then later evicted Alec. So, no, I don't like this move at all, Rob. You're right.
Yeah, and it also backfired because he buzzed in ahead of time and he actually got the question right the first time.
Right, so, and then that's the danger, is you're going to throw the competition and end up winning accidentally. Right?
Yeah, or at least listen to the question and then buzz in with the wrong answer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I mean, we saw Kevin Martin tried to throw one of these in Big Brother Canada 3 and he ended up winning. So if you want to throw it, just don't do anything. Stop it.
Stop. All right. Alex, great job.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you. And it's a great season to be my first season. I'm really enjoying everything going on here. What a whirlwind.
Has your social media blown up since the other night when Zach Rantz gave you a shout out?
Yeah. The Zach Rantz bump. I'm getting it. I'm feeling it.
Feeling it. Great. All right. Follow Alex on Twitter. He's at Alex Kidwell. I'm sure he will have lots from the live feeds all weekend long. So a great spot here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I try to keep it a little funny, too. So, you know,
appreciate it. Okay. All right, Alex, we will talk to you on Wednesday night.
Sounds good, Rob. Loving it.
All right. And everybody else, really appreciate you guys hanging here with us on this extra long Big Brother exit interview podcast. Again, if you want to hear this weekend all about the premiere of Survivor Heroes versus Villains 5 years after the fact, you can go to robswebsite.com/free20. That's 20, the number free 20. This weekend on the podcast, Sunday night, I'll be back live and we will have Jocasta as our guest. So very excited for the Jocasta cast for the first time. And then later on today, I'm going to get together with Mike Bloom and discuss the premiere of Last Comic Standing. We're not going to be covering it on a weekly basis. I think I'm pretty much just all in on Big Brother right now. I think that seems to be what the audience is mandating. So I'm going to at least check out the premiere of Last Comic Standing before we maybe come back to it at some point. or maybe just not ever come back to it. So let's see how the podcast goes today with Mike Bloom. Hope you guys have a good one. Talk to you again soon. Bye.